Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Get ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short.
Patriots Playbook.
Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hey now, welcome into the Playbook Tuesday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook, and the Patriots are back square. 2-2. It was a rough road getting there, though, wasn't it? I'd have to admit, they had me a little concerned. I'm sure that you were a little concerned as well about halftime. No, let's be more specific. You were probably a little concerned 5 minutes deep into the third quarter. Yeah. Yeah, because that's about the time that Buffalo went up 21-7 on your New England Patriots. And then the Patriots ripped off 35 unanswered points before Buffalo scored a meaningless touchdown. And then New England got one more to add insult to injury and throttle Buffalo 52-28. So, you know, it's great to get a win. There's no question about it. I think that the second half... And I wrote a little about this on in a GoLocalProv.com column after the game was over. But the fact of the matter is that the second half was so overwhelming on Sunday that we really just forget. We gloss over the problems of the first half. And I know that most of the prevailing attitude is going to be problems? What problems? They just hung half a hundred on Buffalo. They just put 52 on a board against Buffalo, right? What problems could you possibly have? So they were a little porous on defense. So they turned the ball over a couple times. Or so they missed a couple of field goals. Or so this or so that. Fact of the matter is they put 52 up on the board on the Bills. Wow. Okay, but this is what we do best here in the Playbook on Tuesdays. We can take a 24-point thrashing of a divisional opponent, and we can still run it up the flagpole and see what smells and what doesn't. So it's time for you to run your own nitpicks up the flagpole on Nitpick Tuesday here in the Playbook, and let's just see what we can find that keeps this team from being super invincible. Because I know there are some things out there. What we saw literally was a tale of two halves. We saw... An unbelievably crappy first half, and we saw an overpoweringly impressive second half. It's almost, those two halves of football should not have been played together. I'm not sure how anybody in their right mind could have even dreamt up such a scenario. The second half was so unlike the first half. In the post-game locker room, when Bill Belichick said, and some of the players reiterated, well, it was kind of like staying with the game plan. We knew eventually we were going to break through. We just had to keep, you know, executing and doing what we do best. And I'm like, I'm not buying that. I'm sorry. I'm really not. I think what they did is they just oversimplified. Fact of the matter is that it was so horrid in the first half, shooting themselves in the foot, turning the ball over, allowing big plays, that the second half, inexplicable. Glad that it happened if you're a Pats fan, for sure, but how does it turn that sharply? How does it go from going south to north that quickly? Now, I do admit there certainly has to be something to the stay in the course routine, because Buffalo was playing 5 and 6 defensive backs for much of the day, and the Patriots, they were just getting dared to run, and it just so happens that the offensive line is maligned as it has been, as piecemeal even as it has been. They put together a great effort. So, you know, while we're going to sit here and nitpick on the Patriots' victory, at the same time, you got to pat on the back the offensive line, because, you know, ask any offensive lineman, and I work with one doing my college football games, and you guys, many of you know him. It's Pete Brock, who played on the Super Bowl 20 team here in New England, and is the executive director of the alumni, the Patriots Alumni Association, and still does a little bit of the pregame duty on the Patriots radio network. And Pete's a good friend, and he will tell you, any offensive line will tell you, but Pete will certainly tell you, offensive linemen like to go straight ahead. They do not like to retreat. And when you pass block, you retreat. You rise up, you set back on your haunches, and you keep somebody from penetrating around you. Whereas in run blocking, you are exploding off the ball. You are charging ahead. You're looking for a guy in a different colored jersey to flatten. Now, if you were an offensive lineman, what would you rather do? Fight somebody off or go flatten somebody yourself? I think that's just natural. So they got a chance to pin their ears back and go after and flatten somebody because Buffalo was just daring them to do so. Buffalo was playing 5 and 6 defensive backs. They were lightweight in the middle, you know, in terms of the linebacking core as well. And, you know, and I guess kudos to the Patriots for recognizing that and, in that instance, staying the course. Taking what Buffalo was giving them and then running it right down their throats. Okay. But was it just as simple as that? I mean, could it? We're talking 6 consecutive possessions in which they scored touchdowns. Not field goals, touchdowns. That's an incredible streak in any sport, much less pro football, or unless you're West Virginia, because that offense seems to be doing the same thing if you follow college football at all. But, I think it had to take, Fred alluded to this a couple of moments ago, it had to take a sort of a confluence of events to transpire before, you know, this kind of thing snowballed as it did. Number one, you did stay the course somewhat. You stayed with the game plan, realizing that even though you were 5 minutes deep into the third quarter and you're already 2 touchdowns behind in the game, to have the confidence that there was still enough time to be able to overcome and get back into the end of the game was remarkable. Keep in mind now, they scored 2 touchdowns in the third quarter. 21-21 going into the fourth, right? 21-21. And then 31 fourth quarter points. And yes, Buffalo definitely helped because they shot themselves in the foot, kind of like the Patriots did a bit in the first half. But the Patriots' offense did what Buffalo's offense couldn't do in the first half. The Patriots' offense answered the bell, whereas Buffalo took advantage of one of those turnovers, as I recall, did not take advantage of the other one because they fumbled themselves, as you might recall, late in the first half. Vince Wilfork picked it up, picked up the loose ball inside the 5-yard line. So the Patriots got even, excuse me, they got even in terms of the turnovers there, and Buffalo didn't take advantage of the opportunities presented like the Patriots did in the second half. And then you add to that, I think Buffalo flat out just gave up somewhat. I think they just gave up. I would ask, is Sebastian Vollmer that good or is Mario Williams that bad? Wasn't it Vollmer on Williams on that side most of the time? I believe it was. I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong. I actually did not watch much of that matchup. I intended to, and I did not watch much of that matchup. And the reason that I didn't watch much of that matchup is because I think my jaw was on the ground most of the second half. Like you, I'm kind of like, what the hell? Where was this in the first half? So in that regard, I'd have to say that Sunday's game was one of the more bizarre 60 minutes of football that I can recall, at least in recent New England Patriots history, because of the poor play in the first half, turning around with unbelievable lights-out play in the second half. So I know that you have your nitpicks, the things that you'd like to see improved, the things that you know need improving. But what I want you to do today is I want you to sort of stand aside with your nitpick. I want you to give it. I want you to give your nitpick, but I also want you, you can nitpick as much as you want, in fact, because we usually do. There's usually many of you that email in and call in and whatever. You usually got two or three things that you nitpick about, and I'll get to some of the ones that I want to nitpick about the most. But in addition to your nitpicks today, I want you to add something. Just because this was the way the game played out on Sunday, I want you to add one superlative that you did not see coming. For, you know, you can line up two or three nitpicks, what have you, but give me something that you saw that you really loved about the team on Sunday that you just didn't see coming. You can reach us on the program, webradio@patriots.com. That's our email address, as many of you know, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline. Phones are open and available to you, so pick it up, dial it. Let's chit-chat. 508-298-0398. Again, the area code 508, and the Ace Ticket Hotline is 298-0398. A couple of other ways you can reach the program. Find me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. And if you're not a friend on Facebook, submit the friend request. We'll answer that in the affirmative, and then we can chat and share posts on my Facebook page. And then Twitter, at JRook0722 is the Twitter address. JROOKE0722. Find me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, and let's do some tweeting. One way or the other, though, I know you've got nitpicks. I know you got things to talk about. I'm going to lead it off here with Jim in Florida, who says, John, first, kudos to the Pats on the victory at Buffalo. It's an awesome second-half effort all the way around. My nitpick, though, this week is the Patriots' third-down defense. Buffalo converted 8 of 15 third downs last Sunday, and still the defense is giving up too many 20-plus yard plays. Unless we can count on another 50-point output by the offense this week against Denver, the Pats' defense had better tighten up or Peyton's going to carve us up Sunday. He gives his prediction. Jim, I'll hold on to it because we'll probably do those on Thursday. Besides, I'm going to give you a chance to have a couple of days to think about it, and we'll start kind of picking apart Denver tomorrow in the program. But it's a good nitpick to start with. No question. Third down defense, 8 of 15. You gave Buffalo. Now, again, Buffalo's got a pretty decent offense. I think Buffalo was really, pardon the pun, hamstrung with C.J. Spiller being less than 100%, not even close, really, and Fred Jackson as well. And then, of course, as they started to get behind in the second half, they couldn't afford to run the ball anymore. They had to throw, and who the hell are they throwing to? They don't have any receivers. Wasn't impressed at all. I mean, Donald Jones, he did that 68-yard shoot up the middle because Patriots were just woefully soft defensively, especially up the middle, which is one of my nitpicks, actually. Just way too soft up the middle. I don't know where the backers were. I'm not sure where they were playing, but they were clearly concerned with the corners and I guess playing up somewhat in the box to keep guys like Jackson and Spiller in check somewhat, which I guess they did, but it left the middle of the field wide open. And I didn't think the safeties had a good game at all. Very soft. Very soft. And then Buffalo converting 8 of 15 on third downs, you got to be able to get off the field. That's the one thing that really bothers me the most. I think we can all still see some improvement defensively, some improvement, but they're staying on the field way too long. You got to be able to make plays. You got to be able to get off the field on third down. And while, yeah, you know, Vince Wilfork came up with that big play late in the first half to get off the field, you know, recovering the fumble and keep Buffalo from going up 21-7 at halftime. I thought that was a huge momentum swing, frankly, in the entire game. Because I thought for sure they could at least kick a field goal out of it, probably get 7 out of it, and Buffalo would hold every bit of momentum in shades of last year when they were up 21-0 on the Patriots. But you got to be able to make plays, and I think that they were able to do that a little bit in the second half, but that's only because the Patriots' offense just flat-out demoralized Buffalo. Just demoralized them. So because of that, I think you still have to point the finger at where the cause really is. And one of the things I'm sure that this team has got to work on starting this week is getting off field on third down. Because as, you know, Jim in Florida just suggested in his email, Peyton Manning, I think we've all seen, is still capable. You know, that Denver team has got to kind of catch up to him. I think he's still kind of ahead of the curve in Broncoland. And again, we'll get to more of that coming up later this week in the program. To the phones of the Ace Ticket Hotline, Patrick in Brooklyn leads us off. Patrick, you're in the playbook.
How you doing?
Great, man. What's up?
First of all, glad to be on your show. You do a great job.
I appreciate it. Thanks for saying that.
All right, here is my nitpick, and then I've got something really positive to say.
Go.
The front seven is starting to get much better. You can see it'll take a little bit more time. Hightower, you know, in a short amount of time is going to get much better.
Mm-hmm.
The guy Jones has already arrived, and the guy Spikes, you know, is just an explosion waiting to happen. However, the back end with Chung and Gregory, Chung has always been suspect in pass coverage. He's good at supporting the run, and believe it or not, he's a great special teams player for punt blocking and those sorts of things because he came out of college being able to do that out of Oregon. But he is always going to be a bit of a liability in pass coverage. The thing I want to mention out on the positive side is Christian Fourier, who used to be a tight end for New England.
Right.
He mentioned that with Logan Mankins out, that the offensive line becomes now more athletic, which should have allowed them to do more pulling and more running. More pulling of the guard, which would allow for maybe a better run game. He mentioned that this past Sunday before the game started, and I thought it really bore itself out. So I just wanted to hear what your comments are and keep up the good work.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate that, Patrick. You know, in all honesty, that's a little bit of a surprise that he'd say that. I'd have to look at it. I'd have to look at the plays that are called to see if that really has merit. I would tell you that I think to a man, the offense, and especially on the offensive line, and let's throw Tom Brady in there too, for goodness sakes, to a man, they would probably say that they'd much rather have Logan than not have him. Perhaps, however, because of the injuries that Mankins has suffered, and maybe, and we don't know for a fact until we see the first injury report this week, but maybe if Logan is, you know, hobbled again, that maybe because he's been hobbled over the last week or two, that he isn't able to do the kind of things that they want to do. And so just by getting a healthy body in there, and in this case, Donald Thomas, who replaced him largely at left guard on Sunday, perhaps they're able to, you know, pull and do some things and run laterally that they haven't been able to physically do with Mankins in there. I don't think it's because Mankins is not a good lineman, okay? Number one, dude's an all-pro. Number two, you can never question his toughness or his dedication or his loyalty because the man played with a torn ACL last year for 15 stinking weeks. So I'm not questioning anything where he is concerned. Perhaps, though, his physical limitations don't allow the Patriots to be able to run his direction as much as they'd like. I would certainly allow that might be the case. It did appear anyway that a lot of the gains, as I recall, and this is just off the top of my head without looking at any facts and figures, but I'm just trying to remember. It seemed like most of the runs were to the right side, which wouldn't have been his side anyway. But that's an interesting take by Fourier. Obviously, he would know as well as anybody, having lined up a tight end at one time for this team. So. I'm going to watch that this week. Maybe that's a good one for all of us to watch a little bit, Patrick. I'll try to watch that this week. And really, I think it'll be interesting to see if Mankins is able to play this week and how that might or might not affect how they approach the run game against Denver. I think that'll be kind of interesting, don't you? Interesting scenario. I mean, you know, more athletic? I don't know if that's the word. More mobile? Maybe that's a little more accurate. Maybe. Good points, though. All right. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here's David out in West Texas. Hey, David, you're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, man? This is David from West Texas Patriots all the way. I've got a couple of stuff I wanted to bring out. In the preseason, we saw Ridley kind of explode into what he is now, and then first game, we've seen what the defense could do, you know, up front, and this last game, we saw what the offensive line can do, and you know, we started to see everybody kind of put it together. You know, I mean, I know everybody wants to see Gronk, and everybody wants to see Wes Welker, but I think if everybody gets enough time to play, I think everybody is you know, it's hard to cover everybody. And before, you know, you double up on Gronk and you just buff Wes, you buff Wes on the line, and you know your passing game is down to minimum. You know, we saw that last year with having to, you know, fall back on Branch and then Ocho, and that didn't work out. But yet we still got to the Super Bowl, and I just hope these guys can get it all together. If we can get everything together and make everything click all together, I think this team's unstoppable. And I'll listen to your comment up there. Thanks.
All right, David. Thanks for taking the time to call. You know, you clearly look like you've followed the team for a while, so you know where the offense wants to go. You know where it's capable of going. There are a lot of different weapons. A lot of different combinations that probably have not even yet been considered by Josh McDaniels himself. I'm left with the overall impression, however, something that we talked about during last week's show, and the fact is that this offense is still kind of feeling its way through the process of fundamentally deciding who and what it is, whether it's a three-wide, four-wide, five-wide empty backfield type of offense, or whether it's a two-tight-end, single setback or even I formation run and pass effectively type of offense, which they're trying to morph toward. And even though we did see a lot of the three wide in terms of the formation this last weekend against Buffalo, early on in the game, we did see Daniel Fells start. You know, that opening 90-yard drive in which the Patriots scored, Fells caught the big pass. So clearly the Patriots were ready. And I think the Patriots maybe kind of outguessed Buffalo here, and they were ready for what Buffalo threw out there. And we did see some two tight ends, and we did see some excellent blocking by the offensive line. We did see some strong running, not only certainly from Ridley, but Brandon Bolden had the game of his young life. Shades of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis out of Ole Miss, right? Bolden's the kind of guy where I was kind of wondering in short yardage situations earlier this year why we didn't see. He seems to have good, strong impact on the line of scrimmage. He certainly hits the hole hard enough, much like Ridley does as well. And he's got tremendous leg drive. He does not quit on the play. Bolden just earned himself a buttload more playing time. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, Ridley's not going to see his time, too. Pretty good 1-2 punch, and there's no reason why, now that we've seen what they can do, there's no reason why they can't, you know, do some serious alternating in there. And now, the best part about this whole offensive, you know, scenario from this last week in the second half was the success they had overall and how the run game certainly set themselves up for the passing game. And now teams, I don't think they can afford to go nickelback all the time like Buffalo did. And a lot of times, a dime formation with a very light linebacker back there, there's more of a strong safety. I just don't know how teams can do that when they know that the Patriots are capable of running for 200 yards. You know, the scary part about that is that the Patriots can also not only, you know, put points on the board in a hurry, but control the line of scrimmage and play keep away and not give you a chance to play comeback. You know, if you're going to beat the Patriots, we've all seen, you got to put pressure with your front four on Brady, and you got to control tempo and win time of possession if you're in opposition. And if the Patriots are going to control time of possession by running, I don't know that you want to do that. I really don't know that you want to. I mean, it's, I realize it's going to be like, you know, pick your poison, but I'm not sure that's the route to go. Steps in the right direction, though, David. Steps in the right direction, without a doubt. Now, it'll be interesting to see. And the thing that that baffles me the most about Buffalo is that Buffalo did not adjust and allow the Patriots to just run flat out, run right over them in that second half as the Patriots were coming back. And then you couple that with the fact that Buffalo kept turning the ball over and shooting their own selves in the foot, and then it just snowballed on them. Teams, I think, are going to be smarter than Buffalo. At least the good ones. They'll learn how to adjust on the fly. You know, the Patriots really didn't do a whole lot of adjusting. If you listen to Belichick and some of the players, they just kind of stayed with what Buffalo was giving them, and they started executing better. But adjustments? I think there still leaves to be some, still leaves just a little bit to be desired there. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Big John, what's happening, babe?
I'm good, man. You?
Very good, very good. Listen, very encouraged, obviously, by this past weekend. And two 100-yard runners without Logan Mankins is pretty impressive. And, you know, you sort of suggested or hinted at it a minute ago, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not reading your tea leaves like I think I am, but I think I knew where you were heading with the following observation. If Logan Mankins isn't really 100%, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing if we rested him this weekend, if we can still run the ball like this against a team that really favors the pass rush rather than stopping the run.
Yeah, I could certainly understand that. I think they'd rather they'd rather have him, obviously, than not. I'm sure they'll give him every opportunity to get back out there, but you know, if he's not 100% healthy and ready to go, clearly we've seen that if this team performs at that level, they are capable of doing damage.
Exactly, particularly against Denver, who I don't think is terribly stout against the run. Terrific pass rush, okay, but not terribly stout against the run. So if you're going to continue to run the ball, you may be able to get by without having Logan Mankins again this week, like we were able to obviously not just get by without him, but, I mean, flourished without him. And again, I want Logan Mankins in the lineup, but, I mean, two 100-yard rushers for the Patriots for the first time since, you know, Hitler was a corporal, okay? It's pretty good. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. 30 years it's been since we had two 100-yard rushers in one game. And the defense, you know what? The Bills got, 28 points, but I don't think all of those were on the defense. I think the defense played better. The offense set them up a couple of times with short fields. So I don't think you blame the defense in those situations. So, again, like I've been saying, defense running game gets better. That takes the heat off of Brady and makes us even better. I think we're really getting lucky that it looks like the rest of our division is really they are struggling. I mean, you got Miami with one win, and Buffalo, I had more faith in them until I saw them Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then the Jets are getting ready to blow up. You know, if they haven't, it's a ticking time bomb. Okay, with the Jets. It's just a matter of time before the whole thing blows up.
Right.
So we're in, actually, again, for another year, I think we're positioned well. We're in a very good division as far as winning the division. And we might be able to rest people like Logan Mankins, or maybe when Aaron Hernandez comes back, you might think about resting Gronk for a couple of games, depending on how that situation goes. Maybe you can rest Hightower if he's really... when he got nicked up on Sunday, you know, maybe he needs a breather. If people need breathers throughout the season in certain spots, I think that we can give them the breathers. And considering the competition we have, it isn't like we've got to go out there and have all hands on deck every week, because it just may not be necessary.
Right. Well, just because you brought it up, I'm doing a quick little search here. Denver, after 4 weeks, is the number 7 overall defense in terms of yards allowed.
Okay.
They only give
How are they against the run?
They give up 308 yards per game. I'm going to look and see if I can find the split here rushing. And as I look it over,
While you're doing that, I'll just say that the only thing that kind of bummed me out a little bit about Sunday, and I know we're past Nitpick Tuesday, so forgive me, I'm delinquent.
No,
my nitpick.
No, you can definitely nitpick. Denver is.
I didn't like the way we didn't convert off of those turnovers that our defense got in the first half.
Correct.
But you know what? Three cheers for the defense, because you know what? A lot of other defenses might have gone in the tank or gotten ticked off or said, hey, you know, the offense, we're setting them up and they're not doing anything. And yet they still came up with that big play at the end of the first half with the fumble recovery in deep by Will Fork, you know, with the hit by Spikes. Mm-hmm. Spikes had a coming out party, I thought, on Sunday. That was his coming out party. I hope we see more of this. And the kid out of Mississippi State, the running back.
Mississippi.
And maybe you can help me with this, John, when you get a second.
It's Ole Miss, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It's Ole Miss.
It's Ole Miss.
Yes.
The Bolden kid.
Yes.
All right. You know, let's face it. You got Walter Payton. You got Jerry Rice, arguably the two best players of all time, possibly on offense in football, both out of Mississippi. Neither one of them even went to Division I schools. You got three Division I schools there: Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and Southern Miss. Mm-hmm. All really, you know, really good programs. Mm-hmm. Not maybe top 10, but you know, solid programs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of good people live in Mississippi. But let's face it, it's not exactly America's ATM machine. Okay, it's not a lot of big money. You know, in Mississippi, it's pretty, you know, poor situation. And yet they continue to support these teams and crank out these great players. I mean, how do they do it, John?
Well, there is a lot of talent in the South, is all I can tell you. You ought to know that as well as anybody if you live in Georgia.
Well, there's a lot of talent, a lot of good coaching, but you know, it helps to have the support too. I mean, you got to have a couple of nickels. I think the University of Georgia's athletic budget is probably more than the three Division I schools in that state combined.
Mm-hmm.
If you combined Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Southern Miss, you wouldn't equal UGA in terms of the nickels and dimes that they spend on sports every year.
Sure.
And yet they've got all these great players. I think it's just a credit to them. I don't really know how they do it. Maybe I'm just not seeing the obvious. It's just they got great players and great coaches. But you'd think that you'd need the support, too, as well.
By the way, Denver is number 9 against the rush. They're averaging, giving up 87.5 per game, just behind the Patriots. Patriots are 7th, 85.2 yards allowed per game on the ground.
Okay. And, you know, Denver's been in a couple of games where they've blown people. They blew out Oakland, I guess. And, you know, when you face an opponent who is in the process of being blown out early, they're not going to run the ball as much.
Well, that's also true.
So that may artificially reduce your yards against.
I think Denver will be capable.
We can run on them. I'm going to gamble that.
Well, I think they're going to be capable. I think what Denver's going to be able to do, though, is I think Denver will probably give them a truer look defensively than what they received against Buffalo. So I can't imagine that Denver's going to come in with the same type of attitude that Buffalo did, seeing how the Bills got bludgeoned up the middle with the run. And, you know, because they do have some capable, you know, talented defensive backs as well, my guess will be that they'll probably try to play the Patriots about as straight up as they possibly can, feeling like that if they can get pressure, as I just said, then that should be good enough to slow Tom Brady down.
Well, they do have the defensive backs, too, that you're right, that can engage in the coverage that you need. I mean, Champ Bailey is obviously, you know, legendary player. So that could be something where they could sort of gamble with their defensive backs.
That's right.
Play more of a straight situation. But I still think we can run on them. I mean, I really, really do. Maybe I'm just we're all just giddy with this running game because we haven't seen it in so long to be this good. I really think we can run on them. And if it means that Logan has to sit another week to get better, you know, I it's a long season. And, you know, who knows, we get in, you know, you get in December and January, if you have to play on the road, God forbid, if we don't end up with the top overall record again, obviously hope that we do. But if we don't, you might have to play a road game in a cold place. And, you know, you're going to need to run the ball then. And we're going to need Logan at 100% at that time.
No doubt.
So, you know, this might be a chance here to give him a breather, but we'll just see how we, I guess, like you say, the report, when does the injury report come out? Should come out today sometime, shouldn't it?
No, it won't come out till tomorrow.
Won't come out till tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes. Always comes out. Today's only Tuesday.
I am very confused.
You didn't miss Nitpick Tuesday. No, you did not.
I thought that we were past Nitpick Tuesday.
No.
And we were into Wednesday.
No, we're right flat smack dab in the middle of Nitpick Tuesday. So I'm wondering, where is Big Al's head today?
Well, see, listen, this is comes from living down south. You just barely even know what day it is. You don't know what time. You don't really care. Because it's sunny and beautiful all the time. We got a great day here today.
Nice.
It's just gorgeous.
Nice.
You know? Great day for football.
Nice.
All right, well, listen, John, have a good one, man, and I'll call you next week.
Al, sounds like a plan. Appreciate the phone
later,
call.
Man.
All right, you got it. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. That opens up a line for you on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email webradio@patriots.com. Got some nitpicks to get to, and we're going to get to those. You can also hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook, and on Twitter, @JRook0722. So many ways to get in touch with the program. Shame on you if you do not.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy 4 select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
I like that, Kev. We have our own little open for Nitpick Tuesday now.
There you go.
Good job out of you. Thanks to Rob, too, for taking care of all that. That's nice. Very nicely done. So, like the guy said, hey, it's Nitpick Tuesday. Come on. This is what we do best around here. We analyze and microanalyze and subanalyze and overanalyze and we pick at those little nits, you know, the little things that you can't pick up out of your sweaters, you know, the little nits, whatever. I tried to say. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. The email address, john.rook on Facebook. Couple of new additions to the Facebook fan club. Yay! So thanks for submitting the request. And, of course, at jrook0722 on Twitter. Let's hit up the Facebook here for a moment. Michael says, the nitpick for this week is the inconsistency on both sides of the ball. The defense looks great at times and then lays eggs and can't get off the field. The offense seems strong at times and makes superb plays, but then can't get it going, can convert on third down, settles for a long try field goal. Kickoffs are solid. Gostkowski has made some long field goals, but at other times he can't make the kicks. On the kicking note, I am not sure it is all Gostkowski. I think there are some issues, snap, hold, and then the kick. That's interesting. I'm not sure there is. I think that actually the snap and the hold look pretty good based on what I saw in his two misses on Sunday. And clearly that would be, you know, qualified as my nitpick number two for Sunday. Has to be the mistakes by Gostkowski in the kicking game, and it's all in his head now. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he'll tell you that right later this week. It's in his head, and it's going to stay in his head until he can convert and get back on the right track. So the quickest way I know to get over the shanks, if you're a golfer, you know this, right, is to get back out there on the driving range and keep swinging. And if you're Steven Gostkowski with a case of the shanks, which is kind of what he's got right now, you get back out there and you keep kicking until you work through it. Keep working, keep working, keep working. And if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm throwing him back out there. I think you have to. Now, if he comes through with another, you know, miserable performance and, God forbid, it costs him a game, then, okay, then you might have to start thinking about options. That's all I'm saying, because it is all about what you've done for me lately. Not what you've done for me in the past. What are you going to do for me now? And if you can't do it now, then obviously you have to think about other, as I said, options. I am not advocating getting rid of Steven Gostkowski. I'm willing to give him a bad week, and I think we all probably should be willing to give him a bad week, because we all have bad weeks from time to time. We all have bad days from time to time. He had a bad day. Simple. But it's in his head now. And the only way it gets out of his head is by keep on kicking. Michael ends up by saying, Peyton Manning will make adjustments and will find the weak spots. The Denver run game is okay, but not that strong. Patriots D-line will have its chances to force some pressure. Key to our defense will be finding ways to get off the field. Bingo. Thank you, Troy Brown. As far as offense goes this week, as caller noted, Denver has a good pass rush with Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil. However, the Pats' balance on offense should be essential to keep Denver at bay. All right. Good thoughts today, Michael. Very good thoughts to keep it going. Mary Beth sends this on Facebook. She says, nitpick, the secondary, superlative, Brady running forward. I like it. Yeah, the play of the secondary was, again, soft. And I thought up the middle again, particularly porous. We saw that. Donald Jones burned him on that. I didn't think the tackling was particularly strong as well. And that does concern me up the gut. And I realized that there was some more attention paid to the running game because you had both Jackson and Spiller going for Buffalo. And clearly those two guys are the best offensive players that Buffalo has. And they were both less than 100%. So that certainly helped the Patriots' cause. But there's got to be a way to adjust. And I realize, again, you won the game by 24. So, you know, for a quarter and a half, there was really not a whole lot of danger. Frankly, a quarter, because it was 21-21 going into the fourth. And that's when the Patriots put pedal to metal, and they absolutely did what a championship-caliber football team should do, and that is step squarely on the jugular of the opponent and don't let up. And they did that in the fourth quarter. They did it. Can't do it any better than that. But the nitpick, there is a nitpick with the secondary. Now, as far as their superlative concern, Brady running forward, yeah, it seems like he's running backwards or backpedaling or running sideways or trying to avoid a sack or what have you. And then, of course, the touchdown run we saw in the second half where he looked like, at least initially, that the knee might have touched down before he got into the end zone. Ultimately, it was ruled a score. And then, of course, I know many of you are familiar now with, you know, the little escapade of episode of potty mouth that Brady had on the bench thereafter that the network television cameras caught. But if you listened at all to Patriots Monday yesterday, you will know that Wes Welker came to his quarterback's defense and said that Brady's expletive deleted was actually directed toward Welker and Deion Branch because those two guys were giving him crap. Brady said he had scored, and Welker and Branch were saying, no, you didn't. Your knee was down. And so they got into some good-natured jawing, if you will. And then when the touchdown was ruled a touchdown, that was Brady's way of telling his teammates to shut the bleep up. So actually, I like that. Shows a little competitive fire, you know, amongst teammates. A little battling amongst teammates. So I actually like that about Tom. I like the fact that they give crap to each other. It's good. It's all good. Steve says, John, I really can't come up with a nitpick because it looked to me that the coach is correct in any problems I can come up with by the end of the third. My superlative for the game is Brandon Bolden. Wow. Unexpected. That's a good call. I figured that there would be more than one person who would come up with Brandon Bolden as an unexpected superlative for the game, because it blew me away to think about that. Here's a guy that couldn't even get off the bench on third and short situations where I thought he was tailor-made through his abilities. And not only does he get up off the bench, but he comes in and rushes for 137 yards in the ballgame. I mean, come on, really? So, that's an easy one to pick for Sunday. But nitpicks, I think that's fair, Steve. But I got to call you out on it. You're copping out on me, brother. Just because it was a 24-point win and the Patriots seemed to adjust, frankly, though, they didn't really do much adjusting at all. What they did is what they told us after the game they did was they kind of just stayed with the game plan and eventually just wore Buffalo down. And then when Buffalo started shooting itself in the foot, self-inflicted wounds with the turnovers in the second half, and some of those forced by the Patriots defense, let's recall, they just kind of gave up. So the Patriots, maybe, if anything, they just sort of outwilled Buffalo to get the win on Sunday. But as far as adjustments, not a lot. I can't decide if that's a nitpick for me today or not. I really can't. It's been a nitpick over the last couple of weeks. You know, which obviously were two losses in a row, that this team did not seem to be able to adjust on the fly like we've seen them do in the recent past. And I'm talking on both sides of the ball. And I think we've spent some time over the last couple of weeks explaining how that might be happening on offense, simply because they're still getting used to, you know, Josh McDaniels, who's getting used to a new system and a new train of thought for the foreseeable future for New England's offense. You know, the whole two tight end thing. And then defensively, you got a younger group that certainly seems more mobile. But I would tell you that I think some of the problems happened defensively. And I talked about it being, you know, one of my big nitpicks was the fact that, for this week, was the fact that they were way too soft up the middle on defense. But the fact remains is that Dont'a Hightower left the game with a hamstring injury early. He left in the first quarter. Didn't return. And so I'm thinking that we're already seeing the impact of Dont'a Hightower on this team defensively. Now, I think Tracy White came in and did an adequate job. But if Hightower is gone, and this is the one injury that I'm going to be, you know, more so than Logan Mankins this week, but this is the one injury that I'm going to be paying fairly close attention to this week when the injury report does come out tomorrow, because do the Patriots then decide if you can't play, hamstrings are tough. You sometimes have to give them more time than you think they really need, because they can be lingering injuries. They can be nagging things that if you've got to move side to side and you got to use your burst and your speed in order to make plays, you got a bad hammy, you won't find that burst. So I'm wondering if they don't go out and maybe look for another linebacker or promote from the practice squad. You know, maybe bringing up like a Tarpinian from the practice squad, or maybe going out there and trying to, has Bobby Carpenter been picked up by anyone? I don't think so. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I know, but maybe you get somebody like that to come in and play for a while until you make sure that a guy like Hightower is healthy. That had to have added to the equation in terms of the softness up the middle that we saw. Tim says on Facebook, his nits, the soft zone between the linebackers and the defensive backs. Yep, that's exactly my nitpick, Tim. Why is this still a problem for us? Carpenter is a free agent. Okay, yes, he is. Thank you. I understood when the D was getting old and slow, it shouldn't still be an issue. Forcing the ball to Lloyd in tight coverage. Take the running back in the flats sometimes if that play isn't there. You know, that's a good one, Tim, actually, because I thought that Brady did that on a couple of occasions. It did look like he was forcing the ball to Lloyd. And I thought that Lloyd was actually fairly well covered. And I thought Buffalo's secondary did a decent job on him, taking him out of the equation. And then he said, did whoever hid Tom's helmet prank Gostkowski's kicking shoes, too? That's pretty good. Yeah, we saw Brady looking for his helmet early in the game. Couldn't find it before he went out on the field. And, yeah, you got to wonder if Gostkowski's shoes might have been missing somewhere, too, because he was out of sync for that game. And then Tim wraps up by saying, hopefully Super Mario plays next time. I'm interested to see how we play the premier defensive end in the game. And then he signs off with Brady's phrase from the sideline. After he scored the rushing touchdown. And I think you probably know what that is. I won't repeat myself. 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Back to the phone. Sean's in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey, Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, Sean.
You know, after the win, everybody was talking about how great. I felt better about our team after the two losses than our win on Sunday.
Why is that?
Well, we lost two games by a total of 3 points, and we were one play away from being blown out like 50-7.
Okay.
I mean, there were the two fumbles. Gronkowski's not making any of his catches that he should be making. I mean, the only plus that I've seen in the last few weeks is McCourty. I mean, I know he got beat up in the media, but, I mean, honestly, I think McCourty, if he would have caught a couple balls that he should have, would be sitting at about 6 or 7 interceptions right now.
Okay. Well, that's a good point, but at least McCourty held on to the couple that he had an opportunity with this past Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really knocking him for not coming up with him. I'm just saying he's playing much better than he did all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that would probably be my nitpick.
Okay. It's, you know, that's legitimate. But you know, we really are picking nits if we're, you know, arguing over the little things in a team that wins by 24 points, right?
Well, my point is, if we played the way, because we didn't do anything really special on Sunday, if we played like we should have, and the way Buffalo played, I honestly think that should have been, we should have put up 75 points.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, well, first of all, I don't believe that the Patriots would ever, even if they were in position to do so, I don't believe they would ever run up the score on anybody. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, they couldn't have and wouldn't have tried to score defensively, but once you get to that point where the score gets to, you know, as it was on Sunday, if they were, I mean, they'd take a knee, they'd just run the ball up the middle, they wouldn't do anything with it because, hey, it's a very small league overall. I mean, you know, what goes around comes around. And I don't think that the Patriots, I don't think Bill Belichick would do that. Could they have scored? Probably. And I understand your point of view because it did seem like they could have done more, that they left actually some offense and maybe some points out on the field rather than put them up on the scoreboard. But I think they felt like they had accomplished what they set out to do, which is why they stayed the course with the game plan, and then Buffalo just played right into it. So, you know, it wasn't so much what the Patriots didn't do adjusting, it's what Buffalo didn't do adjusting. They didn't adjust at all, and then Buffalo added to the problem when they committed all those turnovers in the second half, and it got out of control.
Probably my last point I'd like to make. I honestly think Brandon Spike saved our season.
Okay. And in particular, why do you think that?
Well, okay, so if they would have got that touchdown on the goal line and then they come back, basically we'd been down 28-7, and I don't know if we would have been able to come back.
It would have been 21-7 at halftime, and then, of course, you're assuming that Buffalo would have scored again in the third quarter to make it 28-7. But Spikes forced the fumble that Wilfort picked up right around the two-minute warning inside the five-yard line. So I think what that would have done is that would if he had been down 21-7 instead of the 14-7 that they were at halftime, I think what that might have done, Sean, was forced the Patriots to actually think about adjusting more because they would have been a legit two scores down. And then certainly if they didn't adjust at halftime, they would have adjusted if they had gone three scores down, and they would not have had the time. They just flat out wouldn't have had the time, I don't think, to continue staying the course and running the football. Down 28-7, there's no question in my mind they'd have had to throw the ball.
And the reason I say he pretty much saved our season is because if you've already lost three in a row, which the Patriots do not do, and then you got Peyton Manning coming to town.
Okay. Well, I think it's a little early to talk about saving the season, but I do agree with you. It was a significant play. It certainly helped turn the entire game around on Sunday. If you had to look for a focal point, Spikes made the hit. Wilfork got the fumble recovery, and you're only down 7 instead of being down 10 or 14 at halftime.
And speaking of Spikes, will be my last thing. Man, that boy's been playing this year.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, it wasn't just the two yesterday. It was the one that he caused at the end of the Arizona game, which we should have won because
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he reminds me of plays that Brewski and them made back in the early 2000s.
Right. I would tend to agree. I think the Spikes, it's great to see. Beginning to come into his own a little bit more as a defender. When you add, you know, a guy like Hightower to the equation and Mayo, who's been pretty solid overall, you have to be pretty pleased with those three linebackers right there. That's a good, solid, that's an outstanding defensive future you've got right there.
All righty, I'll talk to you guys later.
Sean, thanks for the phone call. Let's stay in the on the phones and go to North Carolina, where Ken is today. Ken, you're in the playbook.
Hey, man, how are you, John?
I'm good, Ken. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome.
Well, I'm doing great. We won.
That does help
you
things.
You know, there's not a lot of nitpicking you can do when you win.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you, I mean, that D-line, front seven, they were brilliant. And that's my love, is the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line, I was very, very impressed. And I was scared to death before we went up there.
Sure.
The one big problem that I still see that I saw last year, everybody saw last year, is the defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I don't know. Matty P probably told Devin McCourty, look, you play this guy short. He doesn't have a long arm. And maybe that's where he picked up his two interceptions.
Okay, yep.
I mean, that could very well be. We don't know what goes on. But, boy, I'll tell you, they split our safeties all the time, all day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That scares me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ain't got a safety there.
Yep.
And you split them, you are in trouble, especially with Peyton Manning coming to town.
Well, that's why I think that was, you know, certainly a significant nitpick from Sunday's game in the aftermath is, and I understand why they probably played them the way they did, but nevertheless, I'm going to hope for some adjusting this week in terms of, you know, what the game plan's got to be in order to be able to slow down Peyton Manning, because I'm convinced just seeing him, even though his Denver team is still, like I said earlier, trying to catch up to him a bit, I'm still convinced that Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning. And I'm still convinced that Peyton Manning can beat the Patriots on his own, and you can certainly make an argument that he's got almost as good a weaponry, not quite wide receiver-wise, but he's got almost as good a weaponry in Denver.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure you may.
That front seven, they're not going to let Peyton get away with much. Those guys, man, they have smelled the blood. Those guys, they know what they've got to do. And I watched those guys all last weekend, more than I did the backfield,
mm-hmm.
the defensive back. Those boys, I feel sorry for anything that Denver puts up in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my man is Vinny. Vince Wilfork. I have his jersey. I have his name on it. I mean, Vince Wilfork. And I could never, ever play a position like he played.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, that man he's huge, and he is 10 times faster than anything I've ever seen on his defensive line.
He is larger than life at times. There's
oh
no
my
question.
God.
But the best part about Wilfork right now, though, Ken, is the fact that he's getting some help behind him so he can feel more comfortable, I think, in making plays rather than sort of plugging the gap.
You know, those are the back three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, he's very comfortable with Love, and he's very comfortable with both Ninkovich and Chandler Jones.
Sure, absolutely.
And he knows he's got to do one thing, his job.
Well, it's going to get better. Yeah, and that's what everybody's doing. They're doing the job, which is great. That's the part of the credo that they've, you know, been preaching, you know, since the start of the year, and really since the start of the Bill Belichick era in New England. They're, you know, the front seven is improved immensely. We've seen that. But what we have to hope, though, and Ken, thanks for the call, we have to hope that the back four is going to catch up at some point. And because of the improvement of the front seven, as you put it, that the back four will also, you know, hopefully ride along that sliding scale a little bit and also see some improvement. And right now, that's a huge question mark. Don't know that we're seeing that right now. We've seen it, I think, a little bit from McCourty. I think McCourty's bounced back nicely over the last couple of weeks, especially we've seen with a couple of picks this weekend, this past Sunday. But I thought the safety play was subpar. One of my nitpicks. Melvin in Tennessee, you're in the playbook. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
Okay. I don't know where to really start. I guess, of course, we're all happy with the win. But to me, I guess I do have a lot of nitpicks because I just felt like, of course, if this game would have went in Buffalo's hand when they did have a chance, even although we were shorthanded on offense, it seemed like, you know, this would be we would definitely be in panic mode right about now. So, a couple of nitpicks that I was concerned about was not really, well, it's a very small nitpick because I think Brandon Spikes he's turned ever since I think the playoffs last year, he's turned it up big time with the interception on Baltimore. He played well in the Super Bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like at the beginning of last year, he was guessing which hole to go in and burst. He's coming to hit you. There's no doubt about that. But he would just, you know, I felt like he was guessing. He's reading more and he's reacting. And I think he's, you know, greatly improved. But I think sometimes he has problems with the pass, with covering. I don't know if it's how they design up their game plan, but I just thought he has trouble covering at times man to man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's not, you know, just not maybe fast enough. I know if Baltimore had him set up with a back a couple of times, then, you know, I just don't think he's that mobile around, to be going around covering sometimes. But I thought that pass over to, it was a soft zone, but I thought the pass to Chandler on that, I'm pretty sure it was a touchdown.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that was, I don't know if it's him or the safeties. I mean, I think maybe if they practice a lot that week, they should have, it does remind me somewhat of last year because they should have had that covered.
I thought in those cases to Chandler, the tight end, Melvin, that I thought they did a good job of reading what the Patriots were giving them and taking advantage of some of the soft play from the safeties.
Okay. That's what I thought because I know this week, Peyton Manning has his big long, he has this tendency to throw that, I think it's Demaryius Thomas, the and Decker, then Stokely's probably that slot guy. And they love running that little streak post with right towards the middle of the field. So hopefully they're going to really have to get that corrected. Hopefully I wouldn't see Brandon Spikes or anything like that. But once the safeties roll out, the middle of that field is going to be wide open. And he's going to try to hit it. And that's what, when he threw those three interceptions, almost the same play, to the Falcons, which I saw him run last week too. He loves that inside slot guy running that seam.
Mm-hmm.
So the middle of the field's got to be, you know, set. And I just want to see somewhat of an improvement because the offense, I think, I had plenty of nitpicks. The turnovers, the kicker.
Yep.
I don't know why. You know, Gronkowski hadn't had that dominant year like he did last year, but he looks a lot different this year. He's still really good, but I don't think he hadn't caught on to it yet. I've seen him dropping some balls, fumble. I've never seen him barely make a mistake.
Yeah, all right. That's actually a good one, and that brings me to a full circle here to my third nitpick for Sunday, is the fact that they had the two turnovers in the first half when he and Welker committed fumbles. And then that sort of was going to lead me into Gronkowski, the fact that he had some trouble holding on to balls and then finally caught on in the second half. And there's really, I don't think there's a lot to be alarmed about where Gronk is concerned right now because he's going to be seeing different coverages. He's going to be seeing much tighter defenses. He's going to be seeing certainly more safeties coming over the top. And he's going to see some things that, you know, he didn't see, I don't think, a lot of in the first couple of years here. And so it's all going to be about adjusting for him and for the Patriots offensively to adjust to where they can continue to get him open. And I think he's just anxious, and I frankly think that's why he didn't latch onto the ball. It was a sort of a strip and a fumble, and that can really happen to anybody, but you've got to make sure that once you secure the ball, once you pull it in, you have to make sure that, you know, there's going to be kind of, there's eyes and arms and legs and feet, and they're going to try to punch it out, and he just didn't secure it as well as he should have.
Yeah, you know. Okay, I agree too. Let's say if that fumble might have cost us the game, the subject of this whole program might be the stomach of a Gronk has turned into his play on the field, and now everybody's mad. And, you know, it can go both ways. I think, you know, so like I said, like I'm glad, like at the win, I just want to see him pick it up even more. I guess I'm still not satisfied, but once they really get it going, I mean, think about it. This offense scored 52 points shorthanded.
Yeah.
You know, was shorthanded with a lot of the players not out. So, you know, they could have had, you know, 75 points if they all get it together. So
no question.
I just want to see him. Yeah, I just want to see him, you know, pick it up and get things on a more of a rhythm. you know?
Well, rhythm is – I agree with the rhythm part, and they are their own worst culprits for lack of rhythm in the first half because of the turnovers that stopped and cold on a couple of drives. And, yeah, there were some drops by Gronk in there, as you talked about, Melvin, and they just didn't take advantage of the presence that were laid out in front of them by Buffalo in the first half. We've got to remember, Buffalo turned the ball over twice in the first half. Patriots didn't take advantage of it. They didn't take advantage of anything because they scored on the first drive. So the Patriots couldn't cash in on any of the turnovers, and that was most disappointing.
Right, and they normally do. Like, it's where the offense does well, then the defense is, like, slacking around. The defense picks it up, offense slack. I just want to see both of them in synergy, you know, going together, focusing in as a unit, and not have some – it's always a slow start for somebody. Somebody's going to – is the offense or the defense is sometimes starting off slow.
Well, that was why it was such a tale of two halves because, you know, the defense kept them in the game in the first half, and then the defense, I thought, slacked off a bit in the second half. So, you know, that's – it was just a bizarre – bizarre football game that ended up turning out very well for New England, but I don't think that they're going to be able to, you know, have success like they did on Sunday for the long haul.
Right. That's my main point. So I just want to see them pick it up and, you know, get off the better start. I think they normally try to finish with well, but sometimes, too, I know they get off the slow starts, offensively or defensively. So.
Well, they certainly absolutely, Melvin. Thanks for the call. They certainly got off to a good offensive start. I mean, they went 90 yards right out of the gate with the opening kickoff and scored, and then nothing. Nothing. They didn't continue. They didn't start putting pedal to metal, which they did in the second half, but inconsistency in the first half. Kat in Chicago, rolling along here. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
You know, it's pretty good.
Well, it's got to be at least, you know, at least pretty good. I mean, the team won on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that first half kills me, though.
Well, that's...
You know, everybody's all excited because we blew them out, but you can't, you're not, if you play the way that we played in the first half, you're not going to win a football game. That was, you know what I mean? If we were playing a better team, no knock on Buffalo, but Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't going to do it for you on offense, and honestly, it doesn't look like Mario Williams is living up to his contract value either. So,
boy, is that the case, huh? Wow,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, that's just. I'm not that I'm a Buffalo fan, but if I were a Buffalo fan, I would so be hammering Mario Williams today.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, so I just think my nitpicks are sloppy, just really, really sloppy that whole first half. I mean, you can't, to me, you know, I knew people were going to be on Gostkowski, but Gronkowski had almost a 14-point swing there.
Yeah.
He dropped what should have been a touchdown, and he fumbled what ended up being a score.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you don't get on him. That was really bad. And he dropped at least three, if not four, pretty crucial passes from Brady. So, I mean, it's no wonder that we couldn't get anything going in the first half.
Yep.
You can't have that and have Welker. The only thing that cheered me up was that I had this image in my head of Bill Belichick putting down a little, like, children's chair and telling Gronkowski to sit in the naughty chair, and then when Welker fumbled, picturing Welker sitting on Gronkowski's lap. That was the only thing that cheered me up.
Wow. Oh, God. Oh, we could really make something dirty out of that if you wanted to, Kat.
So, yeah, and then the other thing, too, is to me, like, you know, you were talking about earlier the coaching and everything, and we're going to stick to the game plan. And that's actually a nitpick of mine. I don't, you know, I'm having, like, flashbacks from previous years with Josh McDaniels of this whole, no, we're doing it right, we're not going to change anything, we're sticking with the game plan. And then we lose games like the Baltimore game where, you know, hey, maybe we should have been a little more creative. Maybe we should have changed up a little.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole, like, let's stick with the game plan, go down with the ship thing, yeah, it works some of the time, but a lot more of the time, you end up saying, damn, why didn't we do something different? So not a huge fan of that either. But there were some good things. I mean, McCourty, you know, one of those interceptions was garbage. It wasn't, he was in the wrong position. It was a gift. It was handed to him.
Yeah.
But the other one, the second interception, was actually good coverage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that gives me a little bit of hope. You know, we'll see. I agree with...
Well, I think Devin's going to make some plays, Kat. I don't think you even realize that. We saw that. He had too good a rookie year to not be a good player. I don't think he was as good, and we talked a little about this last week. I don't think Devin McCourty is as good a player as we saw his rookie year, but he's not as bad as the one we saw last year. The answer is somewhere in the middle. Eric was talking about this last week, and I think Big E actually hit it nail on the head stuff where that's concerned. He's somewhere in the middle, and I think what we see is that he does have the ability to make plays when he's on top of his coverage game. But when he gets beat, he gets beat bad.
Yes, he does. Yeah. So I don't know if that's something that he can... I don't know. I don't know how much of that is, like, hips. I don't know how much of that is speed. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. Mechanically, I don't know. I can't tell what he's doing wrong there, if it's just decision-making, if it's reaction time or what. But, maybe they can sort that out.
I think some of that is reaction time, but I actually think some of it's defensive philosophy. And I don't know if this is, a Matt Patricia thing. I'm not sure. And I guess I probably have to see more evidence before I can make a decision here, but I think they're asking these defensive backs to play the way they are, and to me that's a little problematic. That's all. But I think this is how they're being asked to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I got what they were trying to do. I got that they were trying to give some additional help to the corners, with the safeties this week, but I think, as a lot of people said, it left the middle open, so I don't know, It'll be interesting to see how kind of the defense develops over the course of the season.
Well, as long as everybody stays healthy, I see no reason why we can't continue. I think the whole defense is kind of like what we were just talking about McCourty. I don't think it's quite as good as we saw first week against Tennessee, but it's not as bad as what we saw a week ago. So, or even in spots on Sunday, I don't think it's as bad as that. The answer is somewhere in the middle. What I want to see is I want to see at least one facet of this defense. I want to see a slow, steady, upward learning curve, and I think we're beginning to see that somewhat with the overall play of the front seven. But what I want to see now, before we get too much further, is the backfield catch up to this, because it stands to reason if your front seven is playing better, your back four should also be riding on that carpet. And I don't see that yet.
Well, I'll tell you my last nitpick, and this I'm pretty certain will be my nitpick pretty much every week this entire season.
All right.
Why are we still starting Rob Ninkovich? Why is Cunningham not starting? He is better than Ninkovich, in my opinion. He has a better pass rush. He is more dynamic. And he can play either, and he gives him a little bit more flexibility. You can't put Ninkovich, you can't switch him around and put him in a tackle the way you can with Cunningham. Cunningham can rush from the tackle, and he can rush from the end position. So I don't know if it's durability concerns. I don't get it. But I personally think Cunningham should be playing. Ninkovich has never been my particular cup of tea. So.
Well, that's actually fair. I would tell you that I believe that that's the case because of Ninkovich's total participation. I think, because of, how he's, earned it on the practice field yet. And I think Jermaine Cunningham, we thought before this year, was bordering on bust. And even though we've seen him, certainly improve his lot and his standing within, the team and the organization this year, I think he's got to continue to show it out on the field. And then maybe that nitpick that you have is going to take care of itself, because I think, physically, you're spot on. He's a better player. But Ninkovich has given them a lot, probably a lot more bang for the buck thus far.
Yeah, but, I agree with that. Definitely more bang for the buck. But Cunningham's just going to end up being a better player. So I just worry that we're not giving him enough.
Well, this team as well as anybody, as any fan knows it, you earn it. And you earn it on the practice field, and then you also earn it by your performance on Sundays. And Ninkovich, you have to admit, has been pretty steady.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think personally, I just think I see him.
He's not killing anybody out there, but he's not getting killed either.
No, he takes some plays off. He doesn't. He's. we constantly use him to rush.
I don't know that he takes plays off, is that I think teams defend him because he's just undersized.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I see him, if you go back and watch some tape, like in the, when they get into a hole, you know, like in the Arizona game or in the Baltimore game, he just doesn't really put as much into it. Now, granted, I mean, I think they're out there for longer, too. That was one of the things I was going to say. You thought the defense trailed off in the second half. I think they were just tired. They were out there for a long time. And the offense couldn't get a series going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they had a lot of work in that game in the first half. So, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. But, I don't know. I can't get behind him as a starter.
All right. Well, then that's a fair enough nitpick. Let's revisit this in a couple of weeks, and let's see where we stand, and let's have this conversation again. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Kat, thanks for the phone call. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks, John.
You got it. Kat in Chicago. Man, there's just something incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for here, Kev, about a woman's ability to talk football like that?
I don't know, sexual?
Yeah, probably. I didn't want to say that, but I think I have to now, so. Wow. Yeah. No question. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. The email address, webradio@patriots.com. Come on, you got to have your nitpicks, right? If you haven't been able to get through, now's a good time to get through. You can also hit me up on Facebook at John.Rook and on Twitter at JRook0722. Come on, let's do it.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
All right, we're well into hour number two inside the playbook for a Tuesday, a nitpick Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio. Well, we're just rolling along with the phone calls there for a while today, so half an hour left to go in the program. That means you still got plenty of time. 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline, webradio at patriots.com, the email address. I'm going to get to some of those in a moment. And, of course, the other two modes of transportation, at jrook0722 on Twitter, john.rook on Facebook. Steve emailed me. Actually, I should say he Facebooked me back here because he had given me a Facebook post a little while ago, and I sort of chastised him for sitting on the fence and not coming up with a nitpick. So he writes back and he says, all right, I'll admit to the cop-out. How about this? My nitpick is sitting on their hands at the end of the half instead of using that minute plus to make something happen. It's easy to say now that it wouldn't have made a difference, but when you're down by a touchdown, why not do something, anything, to make an effort going into the locker room? Bravo. Now, Steve, that is as good a nitpick as I think anybody could come up with today. I thought the same thing. I had some others that were a little more important on my agenda list, I think, today, but I remember thinking the exact same thing watching the game on Sunday. You manage to stop Buffalo and get a gift. Spikes gets the hit. Will Fort picks up the loose ball, and you stop Buffalo cold inside the 5-yard line when you could have been down 21-7 at halftime. So I'm thinking, all right, you still got almost 2 minutes to go. Why not try to get it up the field? And I guess I understand some of the thought process behind that, where it's like, all right, we don't want to do anything to turn it over. We don't do anything to shoot ourselves in the foot. We've stopped them once. We don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. So let's just get out of Dodge and we'll regroup at halftime. Although there wasn't a ton of regrouping going on, if you listen to a post game, because they said they just sort of stayed the course. But I agree with you. Why didn't they try to, you know, they're supposed to have a team that is capable of moving the ball, and certainly moving the ball well in a 2-minute drill. And that this was tailor-made for. I realize they're starting, you know, way deep, 95 or so yards away, but, you know, you could still give Gostkowski an opportunity. And I guess they just felt like at the time it was better just to fold the cards and regroup, even though technically they didn't really do that. But I was like you, Steve. I thought the same thing, and I think you've got a very good nitpick. See, it didn't take much to come up with one. Didn't take much of an effort to come up with a good one. That's a good one. I join you with that one. I hate to see a team just sit on the ball like that when you're down and you know that you have the capability of winging the ball down the field and putting something on the board. You know it. So, you know, that's an excellent job by you in picking up a nitpick. Excellent. All right, let's see what we got here. Let's get to some emails. Webradio at patriots.com. Let's start off with, where do we leave off here? Here we go. This one comes from Peter in Toronto. John, I was at the game Great to see the Patriots win in this fashion. Worried in the first half, but happy in the second half. My nitpick is watching the Bills fans leaving the stadium. Felt like a Patriot home game in the fourth quarter. Great game. I don't know how that would be a nitpick, unless, of course, you were going to, you know, chastise the Buffalo fans. I mean, that's a nitpick? Well, okay. Maybe they just don't appreciate, you know, the football like you do, Peter. But, yeah, being from Toronto, you're close by. Glad you got a chance to go to the game. Bills fans, I think, are all too unfortunately used to seeing what they saw. And while I still believe that Buffalo is better, and I still think that Buffalo has as good a chance as anyone in that division to finish second and potentially, I said, play for a wild card spot in the playoffs, you can still see that Buffalo has a lot to do, and the fans also know that. Lot to do. All right, Sean from New Hampshire. John, I didn't see Brandon Bolden coming. I'm happy that when challenged, we ran it down their throats. We need to do more of that when challenged. We kept going to the well on our passing game in the first half. So hopefully the thought will remain that when we see five defensive backs, we pound it. Can't stop us if we do that. We haven't had two backs that can do that, I don't think, ever as a franchise. Been a long time since we've had that. No doubt about it. Been a long time. First game in 30 years that we've seen two backs on the Patriots both go over 100 yards in the same game. 30 years. Sean says, I'm not picking on McCourty this week because he played the way he should play, the way we expect him to play. He needs to do more of that against Manning. We'll be 9-3 or 10-2 and in firm control of the East by the time we face the Texans and the 49ers in mid-December. So Sean's going out on a limb. Going to do a little predicting. I can't say that I can argue that. I think that there's every possibility that that's a case in December when we have those two games. And boy, won't that add a little spice to the holiday season around these parts, huh? When you have Houston and San Francisco on here. All right, Vaishon from New York writes in. He says, just read the Take Tuesday article on Patriots.com, which was talking about the importance of Woodhead's catch and run touchdown in the red zone. It reminded me how dreadful I felt at the time being down 21-7. That really sparked the Pats route because that play could have gone terribly wrong, but Brady and Woodhead made a very clutch play on third down to get the job done. Wanted to get your reaction on the play. Wanted to ask if you think that our backfield has had the most productivity than any team through the first four games. Love the show, and we need you to host the PPGS. Another vote for pregame social. Thank you for that, Vaishon. Appreciate it. And happy to step in for Adam whenever need be. You know, first of all, the Brady to Woodhead play in the third quarter that made it 21-14 did get them rolling. So from a momentum point of view, there's no doubt that it sparked them. I really still thought that the turning point in the game had to come from Spikes' hit and Wilfork's fumble recovery inside the two-minute warning in the first half at the end of the second quarter. That's what I really thought happened. But there's no question that Brady stepped up in the pocket, found his secondary, is probably his fourth choice on that particular read, I would guess, third or fourth choice, and then Woodhead was able to make the play and get it into the end zone. So it was a little, certainly some ad-lib on the part of Brady, but even so, ad-lib on the part of Woodhead to be open and to be receptive to pulling the ball in from Brady on that play. So it was a clutch play on both parts because they both knew to look for each other. Backfield had the most productivity than any team. Well, let's take a look at it here. Rushing offense, the Patriots are eighth in the NFL in rushing offense at 144 yards per game. In passing offense, let's see, it's going to take a while for all these numbers to load up here. So in passing offense, this team, I know, has got to be right at the top. They are actually sixth in passing offense. They're averaging 294, just over 294 yards per game in passing offense. Quarterback rating is 102, which is actually sixth in the NFL in passing rating. So they're sixth in yards, sixth in passer rating. And then in total offense through the first 4 weeks, I believe the Patriots are at the top of the list. Let's wait for the numbers to load here. I'm sure there are some of you that, yep, they are. Some of you have already have this. But Patriots are number one in total offense in the NFL after 4 weeks. They're averaging 438.2 yards per game of total offense. This after putting up 580 on the boards and 365 in the second half against Buffalo. 438 in total offense. And they've number two offense is Baltimore, behind them at 424. Denver, in case you were wondering, is 12th in total offense at 387. So I guess we'd have to say, really, to kind of answer your question there, Vaishon, is the, you know, backfield has certainly had more productivity through 4 weeks than the other team, if you just base on total offense. Rushing, they're in the top six. Passing, they're in the top six. Total offense, number one. Chad says, yo, Rook, I was right, almost as usual. I predicted a 35-14 win over the Bills, but that game would be close at halftime. Well, it turned out Pat scored 52 on the Bills. This team is mentally tough. They are extremely focused and aware. They can adjust during delicate situations against them. That front seven is tough. Those guys kill the run. Love and Spikes are getting better and better every week. You know, I think that's – I'm glad you brought that up, Chad. Glad you brought that up. Kyle Love is a real find. Here's a guy that was a free agent, undrafted, and he's moved into the starting lineup alongside Vince Wilfork. And those guys, you know, while they physically blot out the sun, fact is that Love is making plays, and they love him. And I got to tell you, he has been a tremendous surprise, and that this team is way better for having him than not having him. And he really has added to that front seven, in particular front line depth. Can't go without, you know, giving a little pat on the back to Kyle Love. Chad says, that's what you want from your defense. It's to stuff the run and force the quarterback to pass and turn the ball over, which the Pats D did. John, I keep bringing up Vollmer every week, reminding how outstanding he is. He is a rock. He's a brick wall. He is that good. Don't you agree? Why do the local media always keep ignoring him? Well, I don't think they ignore him so much, Chad, as he's had a hard time staying on the field because of his back problems. He's got a chronic back problem. And when he's healthy, he is, as I think we've seen, he's as tough as anybody on the right side of the offensive line. He's an outstanding right tackle. That's why they drafted him, because they saw the physical potential. Also knew, though, that he had some health problems while at the University of Houston, and they were hopeful that, you know, he could overcome those at some point. And he is overcoming them every now and then. And I think part of the reason that he's starting to come around a little bit is because it's still sort of a job share position with Marcus Cannon. And so because Vollmer doesn't have to play every series and he can take a little time off to rest that back, and Cannon can, you know, sort of grow into the position as well, because I think we all realize that Cannon's probably better as an inside player in the NFL as opposed to having been a tackle in college at TCU, that, you know, while he's playing tackle, he's actually developing the depth that the Patriots not only crave, but that they demand their offensive linemen possess. And so you're helping yourself here all the way around by giving Vollmer a chance to not have to go every play or every series, and giving Cannon a chance to develop into being a legitimate NFL tackle. And it's win-win-win all the way around. So that's what they're doing. Vollmer had a great game. The entire, you know, offensive line was phenomenal, especially considering Brady was only sacked once, and Mario Williams was a complete and total non-factor. Non-factor. In fact, I believe I asked in the opening hour about the running plays and the touchdowns, and Jonathan in Florida says, pretty sure every single rushing touchdown went to the left side. They were attacking Mark Anderson, I think. The rushing touchdowns, there were four of them. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they did go right at Mark Anderson on those. But I'm talking about some of the bigger gains that happened between the 20s, and I think those were to the right side. But no, I appreciate you bringing that up and pointing that out, because it did look like they were trying to attack what they felt like might have been a bit of a strength and going right at Anderson, because frankly, I'm sure they felt like that might have been a bit of his Achilles heel. Wasn't the knock on Anderson last year when he was with the Patriots the fact that he was, since he was a third down specialist, that he might not be particularly stout against the run? I think we saw the Patriots feel that way specifically on Sunday if they were running right at Anderson in scoring situations. Now, let's give Anderson a lot of credit. When Andre Carter went out last year, Anderson came in and had to be the full-time defensive end, and I thought he performed admirably. In fact, I would say he performed outstandingly, even though he wasn't really thought of and meant to be an every-down kind of guy at end. But when Buffalo pulled him away, free agency, because of his performance largely in subbing for Carter last year, I think they realize now that, you know, while Anderson's had some good days and some good games, he does have some liabilities. And I think the Patriots ran right at that, what they thought was a liability. That's a good point out there by you as well, Jonathan. Let's go to Frank. Frank says, good. I smell a lesson for the youth. Keep your head up, stick to the plan, and do your job. Last play is just that, last play, ever forward. Late season success, number two. He says, we're good enough to get through the weaker schedule on this end of the season, suffering through lessons and letting the paint dry. Come December football, Josh's offense will be firing on all cylinders. Teams will fear the defensive mind of Belichick again, thanks to the youth clearing out the cobwebs and the elder statesman, Mayo and Wilfork, containing its recklessness. Wow, hard to believe that Mayo and Wilfork are the elder statesmen? Maybe Wilfork, but Mayo, really? And he says, nitpick? He says, number one, I am spoiled and want it now. Well, you know what, Frank? Good for you. At least you got the guts to admit it. You're a spoiled, rotten Patriots fan, and you want it now. And frankly, I don't know why any Patriots fan wouldn't want it now, to be honest with you, because I think we all see that this team certainly has the talent and the ability, and for them to just kind of sputter and spit and stutter and, you know, and not put it all together, it's almost an insult, because we see the physical ability and the talent that this team has, and for them not to be able to put something together to utilize this talent and ability to its fullest is a crime. It really is. It's a crime. It's a crime against Patriot fandom. So I understand your attitude, Frank, and I'm glad you manned up and you expressed that today. Daryl says, John, I've been hearing some talk that the Pats' dominance on the ground against Buffalo Sunday was less impressive due to the Bills' insistence on staying with their sub-defense. Five or six defensive backs, right? Well, I agree the Bills staying with sub definitely helped the rushing attack. I'd argue that this is precisely the kind of thing that a game plan-based team with a cerebral veteran quarterback has to be able to exploit. Bingo. Again, that's an excellent point, Daryl. And quite frankly, with the exception of a few isolated games over the years, we haven't been able to do since the days of Corey Dillon. When Maroney, Benny, Falk, Woody, and the rest were getting 3 yards a carry against sub-packages, other teams had no fear about flooding the field with D-backs. If the combo of Ridley and Bolden can continue to have games like they had Sunday, it'd force opposing teams back into their base defense. And then Brady against base defenses with the ability to play action? Come on. Take that every Sunday. Thank you very much. Go Pats. I can't wait to see the next chapter of Brady Manning this Sunday. Daryl, excellent. Excellent email. As Jim Rome might say, rack it! That's a pretty good one. That's nail on the head stuff. Fact of the matter is that you got to force teams back into their base defense to respect the run. And if you do, provided that this whole metamorphosis of spread to two tight end set continues to matriculate, if you will, on offense for the Patriots, philosophically, of course, then there's no stopping them. They can only really stop themselves. That's my thought. Good email, Daryl. Mike in Florida. Canadian Mike in Florida. All right, Canadian Mike. He says, obviously, the biggest surprise was the running game this week, notably Bolden. However, the most encouraging part of the game to me was McCourty's performance. I think confidence is going to be huge for Devin. I don't think, like a lot of people think, I don't think that he's lost it. I think his confidence was shattered last year. He needs to get it back. This could be the turning point of his season, let alone his career. Now, the only game I fear for the remainder of the season is the San Fran game. Otherwise, I think we run the table. Uh-oh, here we go. And boy, isn't it great to watch the Jets self-destruct, almost as exciting as watching the Pats come together. He says, great show, keep it up. Thank you, Mike. Uh-oh. Wow, it didn't take long, did it? You put up 52 on somebody, and already our first we run the table email. Oh, right on cue almost. I was waiting for this today. Wow, Canadian Mike stepping up. The first run the table email. Make sure that we mark this down, all right? This is week 5. On a Nitpick Tuesday, 3:51 p.m. Eastern Time. The first, I think, we run the table email. Nice. Nice. All right, we're going to give Canadian Mike the credit, if it happens, of course. And then we'll all hammer him if it doesn't. Joel says, John, I watched the Brady F&B video, you know, the little expletives deleted that he had after the touchdown run was ruled a touchdown run that he had. And he says, I don't see it. I know he said something that made Wes laugh, but I don't think it was F and B. Maybe he said tater tots. Love your show. Can you give my sister a shout out? She's getting married this week somewhere in the North End. Her name is Shan D. There's a shout out to Shan. So there you go, Joel. Good stuff. But I can't tell if you're actually being sarcastic or if you're actually being serious. Because email just is not conducive to sarcasm. But, yeah, he said what he said. He admitted as much on Patriots Monday, and so did Wes Welker, in fact. But you know what? That's okay. It's okay, because like I said, I really believe that it shows a little fire in Brady, which is good. It was said in jest to his teammates who were giving him the business. They were giving him a hard time about it, you know, because they always make fun of Brady because he kind of clunks along as a runner, right? It just so happens that national television cameras saw it, and I think the initial impression for those of us that actually saw him mouth what he mouthed, that it was pointed either at the referees or it was pointed at the Bills. Now, keep in mind, if it had been pointed at the referees, well, every scoring play is reviewed now. Every scoring play is reviewed. So, you know, I don't know why he would take it out necessarily on the refs, because every scoring play is reviewed, as I said. He might have been taking it out on the Bills. You never know. I found that one to be most likely, but as he explained yesterday to Dennis and Callahan on EEI, that no, you know, he wasn't really pointed at anybody. And then on the Mutt and Merlone show on EEI yesterday, Wes Welker, who was their guest, did basically say that, yeah, he was aiming that toward myself and Dion for giving him crap. John says, guys, I'd love to know how you listen live with the iPhone Patriots.com app. It never works for me. Wow. I'm not sure I understand that one. We'll see if we can get Kevin on that one. Maybe somebody can answer on that one, because I don't have the iPhone, nor do I have the Patriots.com app. I'm old school, and I go right to the website when I'm sitting down. But nevertheless, hopefully we can get it working for you, John. So stay tuned for that one, right? Hey, Kev. Did you hear that? I know you were on the phone there, but guy said, I'd love to know how to listen live with the Patriots iPhone app. Do you know how he does it?
Yeah, so I have my iPhone on right in front of you here.
All right.
So if you go to the App Store, there's a Patriots. Hang on, let me pull it up.
He says, I'd love to listen live with the iPhone Patriots.com app.
Yeah, you can do it. You go to you search apps and search for Patriots, and there's a Patriots mobile app that has it just has a blue background with the flying Elvis. That's the cover of the app.
Yep.
And when you click on it, it'll open up and it has a picture of Tom Brady spiking a football. And right on the front of it has a logo on it, a bright red logo. The first thing you see says listen live, and you just click that and it'll start playing over your speaker. I'm listening to it right now.
All right, well, he says it never works for him. So all I can guess is that maybe you need to delete it and try to download it again. Is it a free app, or is it you got to pay for it? It's a free app. Well, then just delete it and then download it again, right?
Yeah. Listen.
Or upload it.
Background with the flying Elvis. That's the cover of the app. That's us.
That's us on delay.
Yeah. Right through my phone here.
So, obviously, John, it's working for Kev. That's cool. All right. hopefully you can get the problem solved. Nick Bodog says, he's saving that one for, he wants us to save that one for the fantasy guys coming up. All right, no problem. We'll save that one for them. Because fantasy football is coming up right after this program. So stay tuned for that. A couple of things that I wanted to chat at you. Oh, here's another Facebook from Tim. He said, I thought Tom was aiming at the fans because of the boo that went up after the officials announced the TD after review. He could have been, and I think he sort of alluded, did he not, when he was talking yesterday, and he could have been aiming that for the fans who were booing. But at any rate, Wes Welker did kind of let us in on the story that he was actually aiming that one for Wes and for Dion. And Tim says, hey, I'm listening on the app right now, as I do every day. Works slick. So a couple of votes for the Patriots iPhone app. Working beautifully. Love that. Also on Facebook, Paul says, John, great win after a nervy start. Now for the nitpicks. Firstly, Gostkowski, two missed field goals is never a good thing from your kicker. The D going into prevent late in the fourth quarter. Stop it! They're no good at it. Final one, a frustration in the first half. The D got two turnovers, and the O did nothing with them. It seems that when the D is playing well, the O misfires, and when the O is on form, the D struggles. Seems they can very rarely both play well at the same time. Good nitpicks, Paul. I kind of share your nitpicks with you this week. Kind of share them with you. I can understand both of them. I do think that there is a little bit of inconsistency when it comes to getting both sides of the ball on the same page. And while the defense kept the team, and as I mentioned this earlier, the defense kept the team in the game in the first half, for the offense's misfirings. In the second half, they softened up when the offense was getting after it. So let's see if we can't get a more of a full-fledged, effort. Maybe we can get a completely together opportunity on the field at the same time. Let's hope that that's the case, from here on out, right? All right, coming up, fantasy football, as I mentioned. Fantasy football champs with Bill Enright and Todd DeVries right here next on Patriots.com radio. So if you've got your fantasy football questions about your own team or, strategies or what's trending hot and what's not, Bill and Todd are the two guys that you need to stay tuned to. That's every Tuesday here on Patriots.com radio. And then, of course, on Wednesdays, Kerry Byrne and Cold Hard Football Facts follows our program on Wednesdays as well. Coming up, in fact, in the playbook tomorrow, of course, we'll have Eric Scalavino rejoin us from Patriots Football Weekly, and then we'll kind of turn the page a bit and get into more of the Denver Broncos. It's Peyton Manning, guys, and he hasn't been around in a couple of years, and I realize it may not seem quite the same as when he was with the Colts, and we really had a good rivalry thing going with Indianapolis for much of the last decade. But I think we all realize that the Colts gave up on him, decided to turn the page, and he took advantage of that, shows that he still has some gas left in the tank, and Denver snapped him up and moved away from the Tim Tebow era, and Peyton Manning might make them a better overall team now, but is it better for Denver in the long run? I think that's one of the legitimate questions that probably has to be asked before this week is out. Is Denver a potential playoff team this year? Are they? Are they capable of beating New England on Sunday? By the way, we've got the late game, darn it. 4:25 Eastern time kickoff here at Gillette on Sunday. What happened to the 1 o'clock game? Love the 1 o'clock games because we never get to play them anymore. That's why. That's probably why we love them more. But anyway, so Manning comes in, new team, but still same number 18, just a different color jersey. I will be very interested to slice and dice this one this week and see what the Patriots can't do, because you know that Manning has seen just about everything that a quarterback can see come at him defensively. What are the Patriots, what does Bill Belichick have in store for Peyton Manning? And then can the Patriots continue and pick up where they left off with that second half of offense against Buffalo and continue to either A, run the ball down the throats of the Broncos, or B, throw the ball over the top We are seeing some versatility by the offense, certainly seeing that. What will Buffalo give them? All right, that's all to be discussed inside the Patriots playbook this week. We'll be back same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Right now, though, stay tuned. Again, it's Fantasy Football Champs. Bill and Todd coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.